Within minutes, the conversation will plunge off into a level of detail that leaves you, as a foreigner, swiveling your head in quiet wonderment. You know that lay-by outside Warminster? The one with the grit box with the broken handle, one of them will say. You know, just past the turnoff for a little puking, but before the B6029 mini roundabout. At this point, you find you are the only person in the group not nodding vigorously. Well, about a quarter of a mile past there, not the first left turning, but the second one, there's a lane between two hedgerows. They're mostly hawthorn, but with a little hazel mixed in. Well, if you follow that road past the reservoir and under the railway bridge and take a sharp right at the Buggered Ploughman. Nice little pub, somebody will interject. Usually, for some reason, a guy in a bulky cardigan. They do a decent pint of old toe jam. And follow the dirt track through the Army firing range and around the back of the cement works. It drops down onto the B3689 Rams Dropping Bypass. It saves a good 3 or 4 minutes and cuts out the rail crossing at Great Shagging. Unless, of course, you're coming from Crewkern, somebody else will add knowledgeably. Now, if you're coming from Crewkern, give two or more men in a pub the names of any two places in Britain, and they can happily fill hours. Wherever it is you want to go, the consensus is generally that it's just about possible as long as you scrupulously avoid Okehampton, the North Circular in London, and the Severn Bridge westbound between the hours of 3 p.m. on Friday and 10 a.m. on Monday. Except bank holidays, when you shouldn't go anywhere at all. Me, I don't even walk to the corner shop on bank holidays, some little guy on the margins will chirp up proudly, as if by staying at home in Clapham he has for years cannily avoided a notorious bottleneck at Scotch Corner. Eventually, when the intricacies of B-roads, contraflow black spots, and good places to get a bacon sandwich have been discussed so thoroughly that your ears have begun to seep blood, one member of the party will turn to you and idly ask over a sip of beer when you were thinking of setting off. When this happens, you must never answer truthfully and say, in that dopey kind of way of yours, "Oh, I don't know, about 10, I suppose," because they'll all be off again. 10 o'clock, one of them will say, and try to back his head off his shoulders. As in 10 o'clock a.m., he'll make a face. Well, it's entirely up to you, of course, but personally, if I was planning to be in Cornwall by 3 o'clock tomorrow, I'd have left yesterday. Yesterday, someone else will say, chortling softly at this misplaced optimism. I think you're forgetting, Colin, that it's half term for schools in North Wiltshire and West Somerset this week. It'll be murder between Swindon and Warminster. No, you wouldn't have left a week last Tuesday. And there's the Great West Steam Rally and tractor pull at Little Dribbling this weekend, somebody from across the room will add, strolling over to join you because it's always pleasant to bring bad motoring news. There'll be 375,000 cars all converging on the Little Chef roundabout at Upton Dupton. We once spent 11 days in a tailback there, and that was just to get out of the car park. No, you want to have left when you were still in your mother's womb, or preferably while you were spermatozoa. And even then you won't find a parking space beyond Bodmin. Once, when I was younger, I took all these alarming warnings to heart. I went home, reset the alarm clock, roused the family at 4 to protests and general consternation, and had everyone bundled and into the car and on the road by 5. As a result, we were in Newquay in time for breakfast and had to wait around for 7 hours before the holiday park would let us have one of its wretched chalets. And the worst of it was that I'd only agreed to go there because I thought the town was called Newquay, and I wanted to stock up on postcards. The fact is that the British have a totally private sense of distance. This is most visibly seen in the shared pretense that Britain is a lonely island in the middle of an empty green sea. Of course, the British are all aware, in an abstract sort of way, that there is a substantial landmass called Europe nearby, and that from time to time it's necessary to go over there to give old Jerry a drubbing or have a holiday in the sun. But it's not nearby in any meaningful sense in the way that, say, Disney World is. If your concept of world geography was shaped entirely by the content of British newspapers and television, you would conclude that America must be about where Ireland is, that France and Germany lie roughly alongside the Azores, that Australia occupies a hot zone somewhere in the region of the Middle East, and that pretty much all the other sovereign states are either mythical, e.g. Burundi, El Salvador, Mongolia,